And started. All right, we'll call the youth committee to order. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thanks. All right, we'll do the board member roll call.
Gloria Alvarado, Trung Lee, John Luker.
Present.
Doug Mangione, Carlos Oregon, and Kathy Boyd.
Present.
And we do not have quorum chair.
So Karma, as you said, there's no action items, so we can still go through the agenda. So is there any public comment?
We did not receive any requests in advance. If there are members of the public that would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press *9 and I will unmute you. And see no requests here.
All right. Well, we have an agenda full of information items. Let's start out with our number 5 there, the program performance, the Ready, Set, OC Q1 performance report.
Thank you. I'm going to ask if we can promote Maggie Lopez up so that she can go over the performance.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
So here we have our Ready, Set, OC in-school youth performance report. So for first quarter, July 1st through September 30th, contract term is July 1st, 2022 through 6/30/2023. Contract obligation is $545,229. And for first quarter, there were no expenditures. We've just received the July invoice, which we are going to be reviewing this week. For program performance for new enrollments, they actually had 21 new enrollments for the quarter out of the 150 for the year, putting them at 14%. Carry-ins were participants that were enrolled last program year but are still being served, so they had 29. Medium earnings of participant employment placements was 8,320 out of the 4,100 for the quarter, or for the year, I'm sorry, putting them at 203%. Youth placement in either education, military apprenticeship, or trade placements, they had 3 out of the 41 for the year, putting them at 7%. Attainment of a degree or certificate, they had 1 out of the 41, putting them at 2%. For literacy and numeracy, they didn't have any for the quarter, but their goal is to have 78. And then for retention with the same employer, they had 1 out of the 42 for the year, putting them at 2%. And for work experiences, they had 9 placements, putting them at 20%. So it's 9 out of the 45 they're expected to place for the year. And program exits, they had 2, putting them at 2 out of the 54, putting them at 4%. And out of the 21 new enrollments that they had for the quarter, they actually provided services for them within that first week of enrollment. And so for ITAs and OJTs for in-school youth, they don't have any funding for that. So they typically don't have any numbers to report for that. If we can move over to out-of-school. So for out-of-school, contract budget is $1.635,686. Again, there were no invoices paid for first quarter. For performance, they had 83 new enrollments out of the 450, putting them at 18%. For carry-ins, they had 89. And for medium earnings, they had, can you make that a little bit bigger, Desiree? Thank you. $4,862.86 out of the 4,100. That's their goal, so they've met. And for youth placements, again, in either education, military apprenticeship, or trade placement, they had 4 out of the 122 for the year, putting them at 3%. Attainment of a degree or certificate for out of school, they didn't have any for the quarter. Same thing for medium, for literacy, numeracy gains. For retention with the same employer or in education, they had 4 out of the 126, putting them at 3%. And then work experience placements, they had 13 for the quarter out of the 135 for 10%. And program access, 13 out of the 162 for the year, putting them at 8% of the goal. And out of the 83 enrollments, they provided services to them or training or other activities within that first week of enrollment. And so for out-of-school ITAs, they actually had 18 participants start a CNA program and no OJTs.
Before you move on, I just want to highlight to Kathy and John, I don't know if you recall, but last year we had an issue with a service provider not submitting their invoices on time. We talked about what that does to our workforce system when they do that. Last year, it was advised to write them a corrective action letter so that we could document that we expect for you to have your invoices on time. I think this pattern is repeating itself again, and I want to bring that to your attention because, again, it's hard to figure out the funding that we have if you're not submitting invoices. In addition to that, in terms of performance, like they're doing pretty well on these programs, are better now than what they did last year on these programs, but it's hard to document where the money is going if you're not submitting the invoice.
Have they said, I mean, you just got July, have they said what the issue is? Have they given you any kind of indication what's going on or?
Maggie?
Well, the budgets were just approved last month. Mm-hmm. And so they were prepping all the documentation and everything. So they have said that they should have August and September for us, hopefully by early next week.
We didn't approve the budgets.
They hadn't submitted budgets in good order until recently. So therefore those have been approved and submitted to them along with invoice templates for them to use.
Right. So that's another issue though, that when you, this is a service provider that has had a program with us for more than 1 year.
Yeah.
And so they should be familiar with the budget requirements. Performance requirements, they should be able to forecast what's needed to support the contract that they've obligated themselves to perform. I just want to highlight those things to you because what I don't want is where we didn't disclose that there were challenges. Something happens during an audit and you come back and ask us, well, hey, Karma, Maggie, why didn't you mention this to us? We want to make sure that we are very transparent on what's happening with our programs. Now, we know that there is a new procurement that we have to do this year. And so I just want to make sure we're fully transparent about everything that's happening in our programs.
All right.
Okay, so moving on to the STEPS program. So same thing, this is for a performance period or contract period, July 1st, 2022. Through 6/30/2023. And the contract obligation is $62,900. And that only covers salaries through the foundation. Although they do placements, they're automatically, the money is withdrawn and stayed with the foundation for the participant wages. So for first quarter, they've invoiced us $10,136.36. Which would be up through August invoices. We did receive September and has recently been paid during the month of October. So it's not reflected on here. So that puts them at 16% of expenditures. For new enrollments for the year, they have a contract goal of 50. They've actually enrolled 8 within the first quarter, putting them at 16%. They actually had 3 carry-ins as well that they're still providing services to. And they had 10 participants that were provided work readiness training out of the 50 that they're supposed to provide that service to, putting them at 20%. They had 5 participants in work experience out of the 50, putting them at 10%. And so far for the first quarter, no referrals to Ready Set OC, but they are working towards meeting that goal as well to be able to provide additional services than what STEPS typically provides to them. Program exits, they had 1. And I think that's all we have on there. Out of the seven participants, out of the eight participants that were enrolled, seven of them were provided services within that first week, and then one between week and two, obviously, because depending on the participants' needs and availability and stuff, because those are in school youth.
Maggie, could I ask a question? Just a clarifying question. I'm sorry, you've probably said this before and my memory doesn't serve me well. Does out-of-school youth and in-school youth apply to the STEPS grant as well?
No, they have to be in-school youth,
okay, great.
16 to 21.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. All right. Is that everything for the Ready, Set, OC, or we move on to the summer training?
The STEPS was the summer training.
Okay.
Performance report.
Got it. All right. Well, thanks for the update. So should we move to the youth program staff updates?
Yes, that would be me again. Sorry.
Okay.
So for youth with impact, we actually had five participants start the program. And so again, this is the 10-week entrepreneurship training that the youth participate in. They actually get a stipend for the training hours, which is 3 hours a week for the 10-week period. For 2110C, we didn't have any youth placed during the quarter, but we're working on screening to get some place within this second quarter. Financial literacy, we actually had 46 youth provided that service. They attended either in-person or virtual financial literacy series within Union Bank, and some of them even with the Orange County Credit Union for the quarter. For STEPS update, we actually had 8 new enrollments. And we are working with Union Bank to get financial literacy series for them as well. They will actually be attending within this next quarter as well. For Justice Involved, we actually conducted monthly virtual orientations for the Ready, Set, OC program the first Monday of every month. And we are looking to expand. So that was actually for Juvenile Hall and Youth Leadership Academy, YLA. And so we are working towards expanding in-person services, hopefully for the Youth Guidance Center within the next few months. I think that's all I have for that. You want me to do location updates? Okay. So for Ready, Set, OC program, we are actually providing services in person and virtually, depending on what the participant needs are, in the Ready, Set, OC location in La Habra, Orangewood Foundation, Manchester office building, Garden Grove, Monday through Friday through the mobile unit. We actually provide services at a minimum once a month, but more often as needed by appointment only. And then we also provide services at the Los Alamitos training base on Fridays. I think that's all I have, Karma, on my end.
That's great.
So, John, do we want to move to the next item?
Yeah, so success stories.
Maggie, do we have success stories today?
We do. We actually have two youth. We have Brianna and Aaliyah. Can you promote them, Desiree?
I don't see their names, but I promoted the Ready, Set people in here. I don't know if maybe they're with them. I don't see the names you gave me. Oh, here's Aaliyah.
Okay. And so we only have Ready, Set, OC participants. Unfortunately, the success story that we had for STEPS wasn't able to make it.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Aaliyah. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome to our youth committee meeting. We appreciate you being willing to kind of share a little bit about your story and the experiences you've had. So the floor is yours.
Okay, well, my name's Aaliyah. I live in La Habra. I am 17 years old. And I joined the program not too long ago, but I came in looking to further myself in pretty much every aspect, like academically and getting more experience in the job force. And through this, the program has provided me with so many opportunities and has gotten me back into school. And I am doing well in both aspects of school and work. For how everything was happening, being treated, like everybody's treated me politely and everything. Gone really well since. I am very grateful that I've even had the opportunity to come back because I haven't seen this part of life before. I thought after I stopped going to high school like 4 years ago, I would have never graduated, had job experience. But thanks to you guys and what you guys do, I can now see things that I wasn't able to see before. Like I could see what I want to do in the future. I can have these visions of where I could see myself. And if you were to even ask me this January, I would not be able to like tell you. So thank you guys.
Yeah. Well, we're very, very thankful that this program has been able to help you, and good luck with your future endeavors of school and work. And we're all behind you and cheering you on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for taking the time to come and visit us this morning via Zoom. I know that that's always nerve-wracking as well, but super impressed and proud. Super impressed and proud of you. So good luck in your future.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day to listen to my story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem. Bye, guys.
It's always great to kind of see a face and kind of you see a spreadsheet and a number. It's every behind all those numbers are real kids and that we're trying to help. And the reality is if these programs can help these kids at this age, it can change the trajectory of their lives. I mean, I think that's why we're all here. So very glad to see that. So the next item, what is the grant matrix? Are we going to go through any grants that you're working on currently?
Before I do that, I just want to make sure were there any more youth, Maggie, or was it just one? Because I thought it was more than one.
She had just said that the other one couldn't make it.
Oh, okay. I thought, okay.
We're supposed to have Brianna Markham, but I don't see that name in the attendee if Brianna's here. Oh, Angelique Jimenez might be Brianna. Let me promote.
Hello, I'm Angelique. I'm the case manager. I just wanted to let you guys know Brianna is in class right now, and she worked on to like 10. Unfortunately, she does have class, but she only has it till 9:45. So we were hoping that it would be a little later on, but she will join in at around 10 if we're still logged on. But I am her case manager from Ready Set. So I just wanted to let you guys know she is ready to go, but she won't be able to log on till around 10 a.m.
We'll most likely be done by then. Do you just want to give us a quick kind of rundown in terms of how the program has helped her and what her story is?
Yes, of course. I apologize for my camera being off. I am home at sick today, but I just wanted to log on just to make sure she was able to know when she would be ready to go on. So Brianna is one of my new in-school youth participants. She's currently going to Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah.
And we've been helping her further along with her education, along with job employment and with education. Cal State Fullerton is a really big school, and Brianna's transitioning from going to high school to a larger campus and a larger community. And she's been having some difficulty getting contact with advisors, not only her psychology advisor, but just general ed advisor. So we've been getting together and working on building up her schedule and letting her know what requirements she's going to need to declare the psychology major. I myself am a psychology major, so we've really been able to go onto the Cal State Fullerton website. I've been kind of helping her look at The audit that the school provides her, showing her, okay, you need to fulfill this course and this course for your general requirements, going onto the psychology website and saying, these are the lower division classes you're going to need to fulfill. These are the upper division classes you're going to need to fulfill. And we've been able to successfully create an entire new schedule for her spring semester. And showing her the right place on the website to know when her actual enrollment is, to log on to those classes. She was very confused on, I don't know specifically what date. A lot of schools provide each individual student with a specific time and date to enroll for next semester for their classes, and she was unaware. So we've been working in that aspect just to make sure that she's getting everything she needs to know. And Brianna has also successfully gained employment with Boys and Girls Club in Fullerton, and we've been able to put her into contact with them. She did go to the North Orange County job fair that we had recently, and she met with the employer there. And she just started this past week. She is also a little sick as well too, but she was able to start on Tuesday, and she will be working there part-time at the Boys and Girls Club in Fullerton.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you for sharing all of that. That's such good, both in the school and the work realm. So good to hear those updates. Thank you.
All right, Karma, do you want to move to the grant matrix?
Yes, we can move to the grant matrix. Desiree, can we? Thank you. So I just want to give you an update on where we are with grants. As a reminder, the current grants that we are operating are the California COVID-19 relief grant, which Kathy mentioned at the beginning of the call, where we're giving out funding to micro businesses. We received an extension from the governor's office. That program was originally supposed to end on December 30th, 2022. It has now been extended to, June 30th, 2023. That's hard to say, but it's been extended. So what we're trying to do is get the money into as many hands as possible. We are going to relaunch our outreach. Originally, we were going to take a break and just kind of do some cleanup, but we've decided to just kind of keep the grant open and going. It is first come, first serve. So once the money is gone, we have to close it down. But we're hoping that with this extension, we'll be able to fully exhaust all the funds, make sure that the people in the community that need it have access to it and are utilizing it. So that's the update on that one. And then for the CARES grant, I'm happy to say that this is that grant that we received from DOL for $3 million to help individuals who've been impacted by COVID-19 quickly gain employment. And so it's two tracks, either you're ready for employment or we have to co-enroll you in WIOA because maybe you need more training. For a while there, we weren't able to staff. Within this last quarter, we were able to get it staffed. We have one of our own team members, Anthony, managing that program, so it's in-house. In that one quarter period of time, they've been able to enroll over 60 participants, which is great. So 60 participants in one quarter is pretty fascinating. So you'll hear more about that in the one-stop committee, and it'll trickle down from to the full board, but we're really proud of that program. In addition to that one, we also have the BEAT program. That program is to support veterans. Again, it's two tracks where if a veteran is ready to be quickly replaced, quickly placed, we're able to place them into employment. If they're not, then we co-enroll them in WIOA. But the great thing about the BEAT program, as well as the CARES program, is that there's supportive service to help you get on your feet so that you can look for employment. And it's a little bit more of those supportive service dollars versus our regular WIOA supportive service. With that program, I'm proud to say that Eric and his team have been able to, I want to say it's over 130 participants. The goal was only 180, so they're almost there. So they're doing pretty good. So those two programs are in-house. The three programs I just mentioned, they're all in-house. We didn't contract those out to service providers. My team are leading those initiatives and they're doing really good. Can we scroll down a little bit? The Orange County Regional Implementation 4.0, that's a grant where we work with Santa Ana, Anaheim, and we use Annette Kelly-Whittle to help support our regional work. As a reminder, our regional work is really pulling together the economic players, working together to create pipelines for employment and opportunities for the entire community. So that particular grant is going to end in December. Originally it was supposed to end in September, but they extended it to December so that we could continue to work towards developing our regional program design. Looks like it's on here twice, so I'm gonna skip over the next one because it's the same thing. So the summer training employment grant, that's the one that Maggie just shared with you, that we contracted to Goodwill to support youth with disabilities that are in school, helping them find employment placement. If there is an opportunity to co-enroll them in WIOA, Goodwill is certainly encouraged to work with La Habra to do just that. And so that I mentioned that earlier to you, Kathy. And then the last grant on this list, we haven't received the money yet. We'll receive the money on December 1st of 2022, but that's to continue our regional work. We are going to be working together with the community colleges to really extend support to the English language learners, immigrants, first generation college students through our workforce system. So we're coordinating efforts with the community college and the Santa Ana and Anaheim workforce boards to work together to make those opportunities available for those communities and those individuals that may have some challenges with the education and workforce system. And so those are the grants that we have been awarded. Can we scroll up a little bit more? The grants that are pending, we have two grants that we have applications submitted. So one is the regional 5.0 grant. Again, that's working with Annette Kelly Whittle to pull together the economic system. So making sure that we pull Santa Ana, Anaheim, and Orange County Workforce Development Board together to support the entire community as a whole. With that, we create regional policies. We create labor market information for the region. There's quite a few things that we do. We have David Schinder helping us with our regional and local plans. Those regional and local plans are important for our community because they can be used by the different city managers and economic development managers and programs to go after funding and understand the pathway that we're trying to create as a workforce system for the people who live in our community. So it's important that we complete that regional and local plan. I believe that Annette has sent out calendar invites to everybody to participate in it. If you can join us, please do so. And if you're not able to come, if you can send someone on your behalf to just kind of make sure that we have enough people at the table to really represent the various sectors and the organizations that you guys are a part of. And then the last one is prison to employment. So as you may recall, a couple of years ago, the three workforce development boards went together after a prison to employment program in which Santa Ana was the lead or is the lead. So Santa Ana submitted an application for more funding. We will, for $1.3 million, it is to engage with individuals who've been justice involved and help them with reentry into the workforce system. A lot of that is meeting them at the jails, meeting them in the probation offices, meeting with the parole officers, making sure they understand what our workforce programs are and how to connect their clients to our programs so that there is no lapse in terms of connectivity, so that they're fully engaged with us before they exit the justice system or while they're engaged with the justice system. So hopefully we receive word that we receive that funding. If we do receive it, the funding will start on January 1st, 2023, and will last to December 31st, 2025. Mm. So there, I have to make this known. We realized that when we put this in the agenda that we were missing the grants that we applied for and didn't get. So in the executive committee and full board committee, we will be updating this form to include the SERF grant and the other grants that we applied for this calendar year that we did not win. So I just want to make you aware that this version you're seeing will change with executive full board because we didn't include the grants that we didn't win. And I know, Kathy, you're fully aware about SERF. I don't know, John, if you're familiar with SERF. But we applied as a workforce system for a comprehensive economic grant to support workforce development, economic development, and climate support or change in our community. We didn't win. Charitable Ventures in partnership with OCBC won. So they will be setting the tone for workforce and economic development and climate or clean energy for the next 5 years. They'll be setting the tone for our workforce system for the next 5 years. So I think Jesp and Ron gave a little information about that at the last meeting. I'm sure that he'll talk a little bit about it at the full board meeting, but I just want to make sure that you know about the grants that we applied for and didn't receive. So we'll be updating this this form. Are there any questions or concerns about anything I just shared?
I don't believe so.
Well, that's my grants update. All right, so the next item on the agenda, let's see. John, are we ready to proceed?
Yeah, I'll just, if we do end up getting any monies for the prison to work, just talk to myself and Dr. Shantina a little bit about that. I don't know if you're aware of the work we're doing with youth and Judge Hernandez. It's basically similar in terms of it's youth that essentially can get their records expunged by going through this program we're running with Judge Hernandez.
Can we talk to you about it beyond that grant? Because I think that that can help our program now. I think Maggie shared with you that we're the Manchester office building offering our program. Do you mind if Maggie and I reach out to you to learn more about that and see how we can connect our youth with it now?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a special program through Judge Hernandez's court, and they have to be accepted into that program. But for sure, we're in partnership with UCI on it. And we have, I think, 3 full-time staff through UCI and others that are doing this program. So yeah, definitely reach out to us and we'll walk you through what we're doing.
Well, we'll send you an email today. So Maggie, can we go ahead and send something over to John to get an appointment so we can learn more?
Will do.
Awesome.
Cool. All right. Yeah. The next item on the agenda is the EDD compliance and audit updates.
All right, Desiree, okay. So again, I'm going to forewarn that this doesn't include all the audits. You will see executive and full board that we've updated this to include all of our internal audits. So it will change, but what we are able to provide you today is some of those ongoing audits with EDD. So this only focuses on EDD. It doesn't focus on our internal audits of our service providers. Like I said, we'll update that and you'll see the exec and full board. But as you can see that we still have open audits from 2016 that EDD has not resolved. They're still looking into it. Those are some of the audits that I've mentioned a long time ago that have quite heavy financial challenges for our workforce system if we're found not in compliance. I'm in no hurry to push EDD on this. I don't know what their strategy is and why it's taking them so long to resolve it. I fear pushing them because pushing them could be like, okay, well then just pay it back versus them trying to really work through how do we, you know, help you that you don't have to pay it all back. I'm not really sure what the strategy is, but it is ongoing. So it has not been resolved. And then there's the 21-22 audit that's coming up. So we're currently in the middle of an audit happening November 7th through the 10th. They started the opening conference for it. So more to come on that. We'll let you know if there were any findings or observations or if we were found in compliance and no challenges. And then there are a couple of other ones that are still ongoing, but again, they're for previous years prior to the pandemic. They're still open. So unfortunately, I don't have any update. What happened is they removed the ones that we passed, like from 2019 through 2021. She removed them off the list and I told her to put them back on there so you guys could see that all the other ones between now and then we've been okay is these older ones that are still in question. And then, like I said, I asked her to put back the ones where she's monitoring our service provider so that you can see that we are monitoring our service provider because as a workforce board, it is the board's responsibility to ensure that we are providing fiscal and program oversight, which includes monitoring and auditing. So I want to make sure that you guys are aware that we are doing that as staff of the board. Are there any questions or concerns?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm assuming that county council is aware of all these and working on these and aware of all these.
We're aware of all of them. I think everybody in the county is aware of those. Like I said, these were before I even got here.
I remember.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good. So the item 11 is kind of, I guess, discussing the next procurement cycle and kind of the various different ways that we could potentially structure the RFP. Is that right?
That's right. So remember, well, a reminder of 2 things. We talked about our regular procurement. So the current youth contracts are expired, right? And so we have to do a procurement for our regular youth program. But then we talked about doing a special procurement for a paper performance model for a specific target group. You asked Maggie to go back and do some research on the different groups. And so Maggie's prepared today to talk a little bit more about the different groups to continue to evaluate if we want to do a special population, what would that be, and so forth. So Maggie, I'll let you take over. I know you have some updates.
Yes. So I believe last meeting I had shared the data for youth offenders or justice-involved youth and foster youth and stuff. So I think today I was pending on youth with disability. So what we have is based off HHS's definition of a disability. They have it categorized as any individual with a physical or mental impairment that substantially limits one or more major life activities. And so in a recent conversation we had with DOR, they said that post-pandemic, that has been expanded to also include anybody with emotional issues, obviously because of all the trauma and all the impacts that COVID had around them. And so Orange County is home to almost 3.2 million people. And so out of those, 694,400 are children. So approximately 173,600 youth would be anybody with a disability, which what they said was one out of four. So now with those numbers, that's a big pool. So I don't know how it is, I guess, that who we want to focus on as a special populations, I guess.
I do remember the presentation last time, but I don't remember the number offhand. I know you had visuals on the screen last time. I'm looking at, did you say as you went through the 6.2, something like 694 for youth and 173,000 for disabled youth? Am I right? Did I get those numbers accurate?
Correct. So okay. They were children. So what we had was information on just overall numbers for children. So it was a 694,400.
Right.
And so out of those, approximately 173,600.
Perfect.
Children. It didn't specify ages. We weren't able
No, that's okay.
To like break down, but.
If you could compare the overall numbers from the I'm just looking at the overall population. In this case, it's 173,600 for this group, mm-hmm. which is the most recent research you did. Compare that number to the other two subgroups that you had an overall number that we would be able to work with, because I know we're trying to hit maybe the largest pot of students.
Got it. I think this is actually the biggest number.
This is, that's what we thought. Okay.
But we can, yeah.
Are we allowed to share that? The page from the last meeting, like that screen, that infographic from the last meeting.
Yes.
Let me see. Can we share that? If Maggie pulls it up.
Hold on. Let me see if I can.
If Maggie pulls it up, I don't have a way of sharing, but she can share.
Okay.
Let me stop sharing this. Let me update. Give me a second, Maggie. Mm-hmm. You should be able to share now.
Okay, let's see if I pull up. So this is what we had.
Yeah, for sure. This is the bigger group, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at that right. Okay. Thank you for finding that so quickly, Maggie.
No problem.
I'm leaning in the direction, which I kind of anticipated I was going to be, that I would like to do the, I'm at a loss for words, but the specialized pilot with the youth with disabilities.
So Kathy, what we're going to have to do, because we don't have quorum.
We'd have to wait.
What we'll do is have Maggie put together an agenda item so that you guys can take vote on going in that direction and going after a special population. Now, the question is, when we do that vote, will we be voting on whether or not it's pay for performance or performance plus a performance plus contract? Because remember, there's two different kinds. There's
right.
Have you talked to potential, providers? I mean, obviously the paper for performance is relatively new. Do you feel like you would get the responses from providers that you would hope to receive?
Well, I kind of shared with you early on that there was a challenge in this community with that. So early on, when I first got here, there were a lot of providers that we were fronting their startup money, right? And we can't do that what we owe it. So I do have concerns about some service providers being able to do that. Now, it may have to be performance plus contracts, meaning that you've got a base part, but there's performance metrics when you meet them. I think that probably is the easiest way to introduce this community to that. We could go back to, I can't think of the name of the organization right now, that we had connected with previously that was going to help us with this. So we can go back to them and say, hey, we've had a conversation. This is the direction that they would like to go. They want to focus on this community. Let's talk about these two models now, because that was part of the conversation previously. It's us drilling down to figure out which population we wanted to focus on. And then they would help us or guide us through the two options. So I think what Maggie and I can do is go back to them and say, okay, we met with our board. They've drilled it down to the community, the youth community that really needs the most support is individuals with disabilities. Let's look at the two models using that, those two groups or that group. I want to make sure that we're clear. Are we talking about, so now we're using the extended definition or the formal definition? Because remember DOR, Maggie just shared with you that they've included emotional. But in the past, disabilities has been functional and physical, right? And so are we also extending it to that group? Because I want to make sure Maggie and I are on the same page with you before we go back to that organization looking for support.
My preference is the extended population, but.
Okay.
As I look at schools, just from an education perspective, it's that aspect has shifted everything in the world of dealing with youth. So I would anticipate that this would be a good reflection for us to do that with this as well.
Yeah. And I do think there's a lot of service providers because DOR contracts with lots of service providers to support individuals with disabilities. So I believe that there are quite a few organizations in Orange County that do this work, but they may not have connected with us in the past. I think our strongest relationship has been with Goodwill, but there are other organizations in Orange County that do support individuals with disabilities.
I agree. I think that that's and plus maybe getting the word out from a board member perspective could yield some additional people at the table or organizations at the table. So I'm a fan of moving forward with them, maybe having them come back and just very much summarizing in a brief way the pay for performance versus performance based with the youth with disabilities, and then maybe getting votes on all of that. Because I mean, I'm just saying my opinion, but whether they would want to go with the extended definition or the not extended definition, I think all those things are probably vote worthy. So.
Yeah, I agree. I think the extended definition allows for, potentially having more youth that are available and serviceable. So as long as it's clear what the definition is and we don't get in any trouble for, that it's, clearly defined.
Yeah. So we'll use DORs. And so we'll ask DOR for the published, because Maggie and I went to go look for DOR's definition after the call and we couldn't find it in writing. So we'll go back to DOR and see when did they publish that as is that actually established as a definition for California?
Okay. Very cool. All right.
Desiree, can we go back to the agenda?
I believe that was it in terms of the agenda information items, and it was just open discussion at that point. In terms of the contracts, I mean, I think that cost plus performance, kind of that hybrid would probably be a good way to start. That's kind of the way I feel, working in nonprofits, it would be a little tough kind of starting out with a new contract and saying, okay, you're not going to get paid until XYZ, I think having some costs, your hard costs maybe covered, and then, I think that would probably be the way to go.
We'll do it the formal way, which is the vote. So we'll come back with the next meeting with those two options, and then we'll do a vote. Okay. So that way we do it the right way.
Yeah.
And then Karma, one more item. As somebody had sent me previous invites to some of the other committees that I might be able to send a representative to instead of myself because of conflicts in my schedule. When I responded, I had to decline. So I no longer have the dates sitting here in front of me. If you might, or somebody might send me just a list of those dates, because I could certainly find some people in my organization that could at least stand in so you have representation there.
Yep. I'll ask Annette to go ahead and resend out all the regional meetings.
Thank you.
I'll ask her to do that today.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome. Do we have any other discussion items at this point? No? All right, well, I will call for adjournment, and thank you, Kathy. Not sure. I think Doug just joined us. Doug, we're just finished.
Yeah, I apologize. We're very shorthanded here. Apparently, everyone's got this new flu, and we had an emergency this morning. I could not get on. I have to. So I apologize.
No worries. We didn't have any action items. It was a lot of updates. So it was a good meeting to miss, I guess.
And I got the packet. I'll review all this stuff. Thank you. I appreciate your understanding.
No worries. All right, everyone. Well, thank you very much. And we appreciate you joining this youth committee meeting. See you at the next full meeting, right? All right. Talk to you later.
Well, that was it.